Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, by just way of summary, what we've been doing this week on a message I've entitled The Righteous Perish is looking at the words, the rebuke really, of the Lord in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, regarding the leadership that had been corrupted. And we know the Word of God tells us that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. God is going to judge the wicked of this world if they do not repent, but His judgment will begin with His people, with those who call themselves by the name of the Lord. And just as He spoke under the Old Covenant to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of His day, in the time of Jesus and even before, that God has not changed His moral character. He is still the same. His standards of righteousness and holiness have not changed. And so the words we hear of rebuke in the Old Covenant, we need to take it to heart. Leadership has a great responsibility, as well as every disciple. We cannot take lightly the things of God. And as we looked at that 13th chapter of Ezekiel, the Lord was very strong in His verbiage. And I just was going to Malachi in the second chapter. I just read a few verses. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear it, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto My name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart." And there are many that have just fallen away from the faith today, beloved. He goes on, verse 4, "And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that My covenant may be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace." This is the new priesthood He's raising up, and we'll probably be sharing that next week. But what He goes on to say is that I gave them, this is the Lord speaking, I was with Him, My covenant was with Him of life and peace, and I gave them to Him for the fear wherewith He feared Me, and I was afraid before, and was afraid before My name. The law of truth was in His mouth, and iniquity was not found in His lips. He walked with Me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. That's what happens when you're walking holy before the Lord, and you're preaching the whole counsel of God. That's what happens. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. Isn't that right? And they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But he goes on with this indictment. You've departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. And you've corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, beloved, what God is doing, judgment is beginning at the house of the Lord, but He's raising up a new priesthood. And it says in Malachi, a little bit later, 3rd chapter, verse 3, "And He, that is the Lord, shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Beloved, this is what God is doing today. Let's just stop for and pause for a moment. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that You would remove iniquity from Your body. Lord, I just know You're working in so many powerful personal ways in all of our lives, those who are yielded, those who are willing. But we pray for those, Lord, who have hardened their hearts, who are not listening to the Spirit of the Lord, who disregard the Word of God. And Lord, we ask You to deal with them. Lord, let them hearken to Your voice. Let them hear the Spirit drawing them back to repentance with conviction, and let them walk upon that straight and narrow way in Jesus' name. For the Lord would say, my beloved, I am moving upon the earth and in the hearts of men and pouring out of my spirit upon all flesh, that I am working to reserve a people who are holy, who will walk in the righteousness of their God, who will elevate me and seek to give me the glory, who will not promote their own agenda or their own ways, but will walk in humility before me, desiring, even as I was, to be a servant, for the greatest among you shall be servant of all. And so, beloved, know that I am moving in your life, and I will remove from thee all that would hinder your walk, and I will give you the strength and the grace to go forward and to mount up spiritually with the wings of eagles, that you shall come into that new place spiritually that you have desired, says the Lord. Faint not, for I am working in you both to perfect and to will to do my perfect will, says the Lord. I will, who began that walk of faith, I will bring it to completion, says the Lord, and you shall rejoice, for you shall know it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as I was thinking about the things I shared this week, I wanted to share some other thoughts, as now I'm becoming more personal in our personal lives. And of course, this is true for every believer, whether you are a disciple or whether you are actually called to a public position of leadership in the body of Christ. And I thank God for that promise. He said he will purify the sons of Levi. And that's why so many of us, all of us, if you're listening and you've walked with the Lord, you're going through seasons of purifying, if you will. He's burning out the dross. We'll come forth, as Job said, as purest gold. And so, as I was thinking about this walk of holiness that God has called us to, there are sins that many people actually don't think of. It was covered under the old covenant, but they're called sins of omission. That is, in other words, if God's people failed to do something, they sinned by omitting to do the right thing. And so, as we, again, I say what's true in the Old Testament is true in our lives under the new covenant, although it is a covenant of grace and mercy, but his character and his principles have not changed. And so sometimes we can be guilty of sins of omission in our lives. And in that case, that's why sometimes there's no victory in our lives or in the lives of others. Why we're unhappy and we can't seem to get our lives straightened out. Well, I wanted to share with you, we'll just start it today and with the Lord's help conclude tomorrow, about the three areas that we can fall short of the glory of God. And we're going to look at a few. We're going to start today. And if we are guilty of any of these sins of omission, what we need to do is we're becoming aware of them and ask the Lord for forgiveness, to repent of them. And the first one I'd like to share with you is a lack of gratitude. Romans 1:21 states, it is a characteristic of the wicked. Hear what the word says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And let me share now a passage out of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and I want to read verses 5 and 6. Well, let me read 4, just by introduction. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. And then, speaking of God's people, the charges, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord or pay back the Lord? O foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father that hath bought thee, and hath he not made thee and established thee? In other words, God is showing to his people the folly of ingratitude. Another translation says, is this the way you repay me, repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is God not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you, or your father who bought you? paid the price, ransomed you. And Deuteronomy 31 and 20 states, when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their forefathers, and when they eat their fill and thrive, which is exactly historically what they did, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. They were ungrateful for what God had done, subduing all their enemies. They were doing the very things God said not to do. Don't intermarry with the peoples of the land. And yet, because they were increased with goods and they were plenteous, they forgot the Lord who bought them, and they were unthankful for what God had done in their lives. And so isn't that true in our lives? Sometimes we don't mean to be that way, but we grow lukewarm and we don't realize how far God has brought us, the many things he has done in our lives. You know, if you put down the word ingratitude and just think of the times when you've received kindness from God, but maybe didn't ever give thanks to him. How many situations can you remember that God ordered events that saved you from ruin and calamity? The times he spared you with driving your car when you could have been in an accident. So many things that God has done for us. So let us make renewed effort not only to be grateful, but repent of the ingratitude that we've shown. We didn't mean to do it, but God wants us so aware of his workings in our lives that we not only recognize the blessings, but recognizing our response that we are doing. We should be grateful. In everything, give thanks, right? This is the will of God. We haven't been thankful when unpleasant things happen. Well, the list could go on, but I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we will, with the Lord's help, conclude tomorrow. I thank you for joining me, and if this is an area, if this has sort of struck a nerve and there's areas perhaps you've realized you've not been thankful for, then I ask you to write and share whatever areas that you're needing God to move in, where you can be all that you desire to be in God. That's his will for you. Amen. And my heart's desire as well. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.